Hello, everybody, and welcome you lovely language and terrific technology people. My name is Hayo, and welcome to the second episode of the Language Learning and Technology podcast, today with two very special guests, Jim Ranalli and Volker Hegelheimer. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Right. I understand you are both at Iowa State University. Jim, can you just very briefly tell us about your background and your research interest?
Sure. I'm a newly minted associate professor in the I work in the TESOL Applied Linguistics MA program and the Applied Linguistics and Technology PhD program. I also teach undergraduate courses in the linguistics major. And just in terms of my research interests, I'm really interested in academic writing and technology and sort of the theoretical lens of self-regulation. My work takes place mostly at the intersection of these three things.
Yeah, that interest in technology. I figured that one out, given that you've just guest edited a special issue for language learning and technology. Volker, I think you're at the same institution. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes, I'm also at Iowa State University. I've been here since 1998, so this is my one and only institution that I've worked for. I currently also serve as the department chair, so my research interests have taken a bit of a backseat to administering a large department. But I am interested in the use of technology in the classroom and trying to see how it can be effectively employed.
Wonderful, and great to be able to see you both. This is one of the nice things about doing the podcasts for the journal, is especially also for our listeners and those who are watching this. You know, we see all these famous names like yours, and now we have a face to go along with that. So that's awesome. The reason why we have you on the podcast today is especially because you have a special issue of language learning and technology coming out, or by the time this goes live, maybe this just come out. Maybe one of you tell us very briefly, what is the subject of the special issue?
You want to take that one, Volker?
Sure. So and this dates back to, you know, over 2 years ago when I got an email from the editors of LLT asking me if I was interested in hosting or being the guest editor for a special issue on automated writing evaluation. They had seen earlier work that I had done in 2016, and there hadn't been a special issue on that topic since then. And we decided, well, I decided to ask Jim to help with co-editing this, and together we took this on, and it's 2 years in the making, and everything pretty much kept on track.
Yeah, these things take a long time, don't they? Just for the benefit of some of our listeners who may not be familiar with the terminology, just very briefly, what is automated writing evaluation?
So I think it refers to basically technologies that can analyze machine readable text provide some kind of feedback on that text to the writers of that text.
And so from your own experience and the literature, if you had to kind of summarize briefly, what are some of the main benefits for both learners and teachers of this technology?
I can take a stab at that to get us started. I think the benefits of this technology really is to free up mental and intellectual resources. You know, when you have a technology that can provide feedback that doesn't have to rely on a human, you know, as a teacher or a student, if you can anything that you can automate and you can do it well, that frees up resources to then they can then be directed at things that the technology doesn't do such a good job at providing feedback.
Yeah, you make a good point. It's a benefit for both the learner and the teacher, right? Because the teacher may have to spend less time maybe offering corrections or what have you, and therefore can focus on other things. And the same goes for the learner, who perhaps doesn't have to process as much information. So that's very, very helpful. Now, you mentioned, Volker, earlier that this is kind of a follow-up to an earlier special issue that I think, did both of you edit the 2016 issue, or one of you? I think I saw one of your names there.
I was involved in that one. Yeah, this is the one that I did with Ahmed Ursun and Ji Lee. So the three of us edited that. It was a Calico Journal special issue.
Oh, right. Right. Okay. So 2016, 2022, I mean, that's 6 years. It's not nothing, but it's also not a tremendously long period of time. So why a new special issue on this topic? What have been some of the kind of the main developments, the main changes?
Well, I think, I mean, technology obviously moves fast. And one of the changes that we've seen is in the focuses of the systems, the AWE systems that are coming out now. So you have systems in addition to those that analyze text for like grammatical correctness. You also have systems that can analyze adherence to genre conventions, systems that can analyze students' enactment of writing strategies, and sort of more content-oriented focuses like students' use of evidence and argumentation, which is the focus of one of the articles that we've got in the special issue. So the kind of focus of ADBV systems has sort of broadened out a little bit.
Because it used to be mostly, you know, grammar correction, spelling correction, and you're saying now it's really expanded to be a lot more useful in a lot more aspects of writing. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah. And I was reading
I was going, in addition to that, we've also seen the arrival of multiple additional players over the last 5, 6, 7 years. You know, where in the past there were a few sort of prime AWE systems that were implemented and used. We now have systems that are more ubiquitous in terms of accessibility. So we have systems that are no longer, you know, only accessible after you've paid some money. Mm-hmm. So we have some free versions. So I think there's been a breadth of additional resources that I think is making a difference here.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And that has, of course, potentially some major pedagogical consequences, which I'd like to come back to a little bit later with a couple of questions for you. One thing that I read, I had a little sneak peek prior to publication of your introduction to the special issue, and you point out that it was hard to get a large number of submissions. I think you had 30, 35 or so, and eventually invited only 13 or 14 and ended up with only 4. I had a similar experience last year on a special issue on artificial intelligence or big data, I believe it was. And the other thing you pointed out was that the 4 papers you ended up with all came from the Chinese context. So I wanted to ask you about that. Firstly, why did you think that there was relatively little uptake initially? And given that, you know, technology is so important, and especially this topic could be seen to be, you know, particularly important at the moment. And secondly, related to that, why does there seem to be so much activity especially in China?
I could take the first part of the question. So I think, I think part of it has to do with the global pandemic. I mean, my own research productivity has kind of taken a hit, and I assume that's the case for quite a lot of other people. So I guess in that sense, the timing of this special issue wasn't ideal. But I know that there is a lot of work going on out there in this area, so maybe just people weren't able to bring it to fruition, share it with us at this time.
Do you, either of you... Yeah, go ahead, Volker. Yeah.
I was going to say, and in terms of sort of the second part of the question, why so many studies come out of China, I think that we see a lot of investment in resource investment in China, in terms of English learning, in terms of the development of some of these systems. And it is an ideal training ground, so to speak, for some of these systems in the Chinese context, where you know, you just have a lot more learners. You have access to a lot more learners, and you can really do things. You know, so I think that's one benefit here.
Yeah, that was sort of what I was getting to with my slightly leading question. I get the impression, I wanted to get your feedback on this, that in certain parts of the world, there does seem to be a lot more understanding of the importance going into the future of not just of the area of your particular special issue, but natural language processing and artificial intelligence and everything else that comes out of that, more so than in other parts of the world, and as a result of that, perhaps also considerably larger amounts of funding being available for primary research. That is just an impression that I had. And when I read your introduction, I was thinking, do you feel that maybe that has something to do with that? Are we investing enough, perhaps, say, in, for example, your institutions or the context where you work in these areas?
I don't know. I mean, I could always use more funding.
Really? You're the only one.
If you know the question if we're investing enough, I think, you know, I don't have the numbers ready to, but my very personal perception is that there's not a whole lot of funding that goes into this here. Plus, I mean, the context that in which we operate, it deals with English language learners, and if you look at the past 3 years or so, where, you know, with the pandemic, you know, we've had a significant decrease in English language learners coming into the U.S. That actually predates the pandemic a little bit in terms of, you know, how difficult it was or has been for learners to come in. So there's also a much smaller population of learners that are coming into the U.S. I think that we've seen an uptick of that at our university, certainly, and I think nationwide. But that has something to do with this as well. But I think this speaks to Jim's response to the first part of the question, in terms of, you know, there's just not that much out there. I mean, we have, you know, an intensive English program that, you know, at some point had 100, 200 students, and now it's down to, you know, single digits or maybe teens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's, of course, the case in many contexts around the world. Some of our listeners, maybe especially those who are not deeply familiar with the topic, but it's something that I hear a lot from teachers I speak with, may be concerned about some of the implications of the types of technologies that are being described in the papers, in the special issue, and in the field at large. You know, the implications of, for example, machine translation and students using that to not just to do spelling checks and grammar checks, but potentially even to generate texts that are in some cases almost indistinguishable from authored texts. What would you say to teachers who have question marks around the feasibility, maybe the whether it's even ethical to use these types of technologies in language education?
That's a tough one. I feel, and again, this goes back to the reason for the impetus for the special issue. I mean, it's automated writing evaluation is now a fixture, I think, on the second language writing landscape. So it's not something that, you know, we can ignore or pretend doesn't exist, even if we were inclined to do so. But Robert Godwin Jones, who writes the Emerging Technologies column for LLT, and he has a special column on AWE and intelligent writing assistance technologies in our special issue, talks about this, and he talks about machine translation, automatic text generation, and you know, basically he says these new technologies. We have to explore ways to integrate these into the classroom, and it has to be this integration has to be guided by situated practice and established goals and desired outcomes. So basically, we can't I think we have to approach these things with an open mind and look for opportunities to kind of harness their pedagogical value rather than holding on to maybe outdated notions of, you know, what writing is supposed to be and what role technology is supposed to play.
Right. Volker, did you want to add anything there?
I could add a few sentences here. I think Jim is right on target. What we have seen also is that we've seen a little bit of a shift of AWE tools that were used or have been used for second language learners. Now these AWE tools are now also being integrated immensely for first language learners. Mm-hmm. I mean for native speakers of English, for example. Jim is running a large project at Iowa State University that integrates one of those tools, not just in second language classrooms, but also, for all the students. So I think we have to broaden the base of which of how we view these tools. So it's no longer just a tool for second language learning, but it's also tool for language learning. You know, for becoming more proficient in your first language. So I think that's an important aspect that we're trying to explore here.
Yeah, I think you both make a very good point. And that's something that perhaps is sometimes easy to forget when you're, especially when you're heavily involved in the pedagogical side of things, is that the nature of writing, as you put it, Jim, itself has changed. And, just like when, say, 20 years ago, people were complaining about the language of SMS messages and texting on phones and how it wasn't proper, proper language and so on. Now perhaps we need to also reconsider, what writing is and then also ask how does that change how pedagogically we support the necessary processes, and maybe that involves using the technology for the better. And that leads me to my next question. Which involves the teachers. What sort of support do teachers need, in your view? I know that goes a little bit beyond the scope of the special issue, but to be able to work meaningfully with these new technologies.
Teachers obviously have a very important role because, we know there's research that shows that teachers' attitudes and practices regarding AWE influence students' attitudes and practices. Mm-hmm. So first of all, addressing the kind of concerns that we were discussing in response to the earlier question, more kind of traditional views of the role of technology and the idea that AWE makes students lazy or undermines learning. Teachers need to we need to address those, and then also getting them to see the possibilities, to understand how use of AWE may contribute to second language development.
Right.
I think that the empirical evidence is still out on whether that can actually be a factor in language learning, but I think a prevailing attitude is AWE, to the extent it focuses on grammatical and usage concerns, is just a proofreading tool. Mm. It's something that can only contribute to the polishing of the current text. Whereas we're in applied linguistics, we've been waiting a long time for these sorts of technologies to come along, and one of the reasons why is because of the prospect that it can actually help students, improve their language proficiency. So, the transfer of learning from the current writing task to subsequent writing tasks. So again, getting teachers to kind of understand that there's a wider perspective here, and that they can kind of be partners in exploring the potential of this new and ever expanding area of writing assistance technology.
Yeah, nice one, nice one. Jim, I have one final question for you. You've got four articles, plus your own introduction, plus Robert Gottman-Jones's column in the special issue. The four articles, I've read them with gusto. They were very interesting. And they led me to this concluding question. Based on those contributions and your own work, where do you see the field going next, especially in terms of research in, say, the next few years?
Well, we do have kind of a narrow cross section of research in this special issue for the reasons that we were discussing earlier. But as I said, I think there is a lot of work going on out there, and I'm excited about seeing this work eventually published. And I'm talking about work, a lot of the research has focused on tertiary settings. So, you know, the use of AWE in college and university classrooms. I'm really interested to see, you know, how it's going, how it's being used in, secondary level and maybe, professional contexts as well. And also systems that analyze languages other than English, I think is an important area.
Yeah, that remains a big gap, right? And I like what you say about the secondary level, because if we're hoping that these technologies can be used more developmentally rather than just as a corrective tool, then it's all the more important that learners learn how to work with these technologies in a productive, meaningful way. And, you know, the earlier you can start with that, the better, right?
That's right. Yep. Absolutely.
Before we wrap up, is there anything that either of you want to say about the special issue or about any of the particular papers that were included?
Just that we're very excited. I don't mean to take anything away from the quality of the work of our four contributing sets of authors. I think it's a nice cross section of work, and we're very grateful to them for their contributions and for working with us through the peer review process to bring this special issue to the fore. So I hope everybody enjoys it.
I hope it gets as wide an audience as it deserves, and hopefully this podcast will help with that. Jim and Volker, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Chaim.